In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is born. We got one little, that's right, I'll say it again. Christ is born. There we go. Christ is born. Christ is born. Okay, maybe we'll get it now. Now I'm going to try in Arabic here. Where'd you go, Pierre? Where'd Pierre go? All right, well, here it is in Arabic. El Messiah Wulida. And the response is, Fe Mejiduhu. Fe Mejiduhu. Fe Mejiduhu. So I say, El Messiah Wulida. Okay, there we go. Here. Okay. Here we need an Arabic lesson. If I say to you, El Messiah Wulida, you say, okay. All right, well, what is he supposed to say? Uhu, mejiduhu. Yeah, mejiduhu. There we go. Okay. All right. There we go. All right. Thank you, Pierre. The Nativity, December 25th. This is the day that God has fashioned all things new. This is the day that God has recreated human nature into an icon of himself. On Christmas night, as we just heard in the gospel, a bright light shined in the sky, in the universe. And that light has never dimmed. That light continues to illuminate all creation with a great light. It dawned some 2,000 years ago, and it will never set. The various divine services of Christmas express this very festive joy. If you had any chance to read any of the prayers today during the Tipica, the prayers in preparation, the third hour, the ninth hour, or the sixth hour, if you do, here we have the Vespers, if you do Compline tonight, this is what the whole theme is. The dawn, the light has dawned, and a great joy, is a great festive joy at this never-setting light. With one voice, those in heaven and on earth celebrate the greatest gift that God has given to the human race. That's tonight's gospel. You have angels and shepherds, and both are coming, and both are adoring God. Heaven and earth are praising in God, praising this great gift, thanking God for this great gift we call the Incarnation. When the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Word of God, he took to himself our human nature. How does the church respond? With awe, with wonder. It's not something to be completely figured out. The church ponders and is struck with awe. Today, in fact, in the ninth hour in today's prayer, you would have heard these words. Today, he who holds the whole creation in his hands is born of the Virgin. That's the dichotomy. That's the mystery. He who cannot be contained today now is contained. That's something worth pondering and wondering. The wonder does not stop there. All the more we can ponder this reality. While we were yet sinners, totally undeserving of any gift from Almighty God, let alone any act of justice on his part, he became like one of us. He stood among us in our own flesh. If justice were carried out by Almighty God, we would have been wiped out with the first sin. And how many more sins we see throughout the Old Testament. And yet, what does God do? He doesn't wipe out his creation. He doesn't wipe you and me out. Instead, he becomes like one of us. So not only can we ponder the mystery that a God who cannot be contained, who cannot be in one sense in a womb, is in a womb. And as now we can see him all the more, he does it. And we don't deserve it. St. Gregory of Palamas, the great saint in the 14th century, wrote these words about today's mystery. He who defines all things, and is limited by none, is contained in a small makeshift manger. He who holds the universe and grasps in the hollow of his hand, tonight is wrapped in narrow swaddling bands, and he's fastened in ordinary clothes. The church fathers just meditate on all this. The angels respond by singing, "Glory to God in the highest." We sing it every time we pray Orthros or Vespers. We sing it before we begin our divine liturgy. Glory to God in the highest. And the shepherds came to see this wonder, and they walked away in wonder. The Magi come to adore, and they walk away worshiping God. The mystery tonight, God became man that man might become God. Those are the words of St. Athanasius the Great, and it summarizes truly the entire mystery we are celebrating tonight. God created us for divinity. God created us to be co-heirs with his Son. God created you and me so that we could, because of what's happened tonight, so we could call God Abba, our Father. Jesus the Christ took our human nature in order to make all things new. In Adam, we came to know death. In Christ, we have come to know life. Such are the reasons, then, that those on earth have heeded the angelic good tidings, and the reason why we stand and we sing every day, "Glory to God in the highest." Next time you say that prayer, maybe it'll be tomorrow morning, maybe it'll be on Sunday, but think of that. That's what we're saying. We are actually joining the angels every time we say those words, the angelic proclamation that has been ringing now throughout the universe for 2,000 years. Christmas is the feast of a new beginning. Christmas is the new hope. Christmas is the new communion. Out of the oldness of death comes the newness of life. Out of the oldness of disordered love called sin is the newness of the selflessness of God. Out of the oldness of despair comes the newness of hope. Out of the oldness of despondency comes the newness of joy. Out of the oldness of discord comes the newness of concord. Out of the oldness of a scattered humanity and a divided church comes the newness of a united humanity and a united body of Christ. Because tonight, Jesus of Nazareth is born. Indeed, God has become one of us that we may become divine. Tonight, tomorrow, and for this Christmas season, hopefully everybody has an icon of Christ in their homes. For these next few days, ponder that face, the face of the seraphim dare not even look upon. How about that? God shows his face to you and me, and the seraphim don't even dare to look upon it. What happened with the divine act of the incarnation? Our church hymn tells us. The angels on this night offered God a hymn. The heavens on this night gave God a star. The Magi gave God gifts. The shepherds gave God wonder. The earth gave God a cave, and the wilderness gave God a manger. And the human race, we gave God his mother, the Virgin Mother. What will you give to God this very night? What will you give to God in this season called Christmas? Yes, we can walk away and say, oh, I'll be a more virtuous person. I'll try to be a better human being. I'll try to be more loving, more kind, more patient, more forgiving, more chaste, more truthful, and et cetera, et cetera. And those, yes, have a place. But that's not ultimately what God wants from you and me tonight. No. God did not come in this world to make us better, virtuous people. Pagans could do that. Atheists can do that. Christ became incarnate that you and I might become icons of him. He came to abide with you and me, and in order that you and I may abide with him, the angels said that tonight when they proclaimed the great proclamation. By tomorrow evening, the secular and de-Christianized American society is going to be taking down everything about Christmas. And they're going to already be looking toward the next holiday. Does that surprise you and me? It shouldn't. It shouldn't, because the holiday season for a secular society was never about God. The holiday season is a self-centered season, focused on materialism, indulgence, parties, and consumerism. For the person with a lived faith, today, however, begins the season of 12 days, followed by 9 days of the Theophany. Why? Because the season, this season, celebrates one main theme: the manifestation of God. That manifestation, tonight's manifestation, brings, as the angels tell us, to earth peace and goodwill. That's what they proclaim. God in the person Jesus brings peace and goodwill to all men. And that peace and goodwill is what God wants you and me to receive. That's why he came. In other words, let the Lord Jesus be your content, your reason, and the logic of your life. In a real sense, that's the greatest gift you and I are able to offer to this world: Jesus, who brings peace and goodwill. Because when you have Jesus and you bring him, then the world receives peace, righteousness, and joy. But not passing, not momentary joy, not momentary peace. It's a lasting peace. It's a lasting joy. The 18th century Saint Seraphim of Serov aptly said it this way, quote, "Acquire the peace of God in your soul, and 1,000 souls around you will be saved. Without the gifts of divine peace and goodwill, there will never be peace and goodwill on earth. Christ is born.